Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, it's one of those things that most of us, especially those of us in the church, evangelicalism, whatever you want to call it, we like to think this is one of those things that happens out there, but domestic abuse is alive and well in the church. And if you talk about domestic abuse, oftentimes, and for me as a guy, tend to think strictly in terms of physical abuse, right? Black eye, broken ribs, stuff like that. But physical, sexual, emotional, intellectual abuse, there's all different kinds of things. Listen to these. Using coercion and threats, using intimidation, using emotional abuse, using isolation, minimizing, denying, and blaming, using your children, using male privilege, or using economic abuse. Prevent her from getting or keeping a job, making her ask for money, giving her an allowance, taking her money, not letting her know about or have access to family income. That's just one particular slice of something called the power and control wheel, which was a real eye-opener to me when Joy Forrest from Called to Peace Ministries here in Raleigh, North Carolina, made me aware of all these things. And Joy's got quite a powerful story in this world. She spent, what, like 20 years, over 20 years, Joy?
It's 23 if you count the dating years.
23 years in an abusive relationship. And then you're also going to meet in a little bit Christy Lay, who's a board member at Called to Peace Ministries. And also, if you're here in the Raleigh area or North Carolina or anywhere on the East Coast, this topic's going to hit home for some of you. And some of you today on the show are going to realize that you actually are in an abusive relationship. You just didn't think so, or you didn't want to go there. And we're going to talk about all that as we unpack it. But coming up on May 4th and 5th here in the Raleigh area, North Carolina, Beauty for Ashes, Finding Peace and Healing After Abuse. It's a Friday evening and a Saturday at a local church here in Raleigh, North Carolina. CalledToPeace.org is the website. And it's also going to be streaming on Facebook. So whether you live here or not, you could be listening on KLHT, which is one of our... We should do a show at KLHT, Joy. Want to know why?
Why?
Because it's in Honolulu.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's not a bad gig. Or we can go to KDIA, which is in San Francisco. So we're on a lot more places than we were the last time you were on, but it's great to see you, Joy. Welcome back.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So Joy shared with me her book. This wasn't done the last time you were on the show, Called to Peace, A Survivor's Guide to Finding Peace and Healing After Domestic Abuse. You shared a little bit on the air previously about those 23 years when you were in that relationship and marriage and all the abuse, but there wasn't as much detail as there is in the book. And it's really heartbreaking to read the story. And it's miraculous to see the woman you are today, but what you endured then. But the first question that, of course, came to my mind in reading through your story, and we'll hear from Christy in a little bit, is, hey, Joy, you know, why did you stay all those years, all that abuse? You sit there and go, gosh, I mean, how many times do you have to be abused in order to before you realize you got to get out of there? Yet 23 years later. So just take us down that road and share your story with us.
Well, I'm going to start with my daughter says, I'm halfway through your book, Mom, and boy, were you stupid. So I certainly felt that way when I got out. But when you get into it, I always tell people the best analogy is the analogy of if you throw a frog in boiling water, they will jump right out. But if you put them in there and turn up the heat little by little, it's like a systematic brainwashing is the best I can describe. It's almost like being indoctrinated into a cult. Your thinking changes and it gets warped over time.
Yeah, and so how did it start? Was there any indication before you married him that this was going to happen?
For me, I saw some of the signs that I know to be signs for abusive relationships, extreme jealousy. They tend to be very charming, and they'll kind of swoop in on you and want to get serious pretty soon in a relationship. Some of those things were present. The jealousy was the number one thing that I would see, and... You know, there were times when he would be controlling. He gave me so much attention I wasn't used to. He would call and find out where I was multiple times a day. So now I see that as a red flag. Back then, I thought it was very
sweet,
flattering.
He's texting you all the time back in the day.
Well, yeah, right. So we didn't have that back.
Right. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
And so over time, though, I mean, and you were a Christian woman. You knew the Lord. You knew the Scriptures. Did you? And this is a really important aspect of your story. We've talked about this before. We'll continue to talk about it on the show, and I'm sure Christy will go down this road too. But the reaction of the church and your own theology, because we sit there and go, hey, you know, I can't leave my husband. I need to be submissive. How did all that work its way into this 23 years of abuse?
Well, for me, it was actually a church that we had gone to before we got married. It was a very, very conservative church. And so I mean, the way they taught submission was you submit. It was like obedience, which is not what the Greek word means, by the way. But I had been, to me, I had been indoctrinated myself in that, because by the time I went through it, we were living in a small town. There were really no conservative churches. So my pastor told me I needed to get out and get a divorce. And I just thought, this man doesn't know the Lord.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, God hates divorce, right?
That's right. I didn't believe in divorce. So I thought I had to stay and I had to endure it.
Yeah. And was that the counsel you got?
Not from that pastor, no. But really, it was more self-driven. I know a lot of ladies that I've worked with over the years, that's the kind of counsel they get. You have to stay. You have to make it work. You have to submit as long as he's not asking you to sin, depending on the church doctrine, because it can really vary.
And over all these years, what kind of grade would you give the church at large in dealing with domestic abuse?
Oh, gosh. Most churches.
No sacred cows, remember?
That's right.
That's the whole deal on the show. No sacred cows, including our own camp.
An F.
Yeah, really. An F. Why an F?
I just haven't seen anybody deal with it very well. I have seen a few churches. We actually have a pastor on our board. I love him so much, because when somebody came to him and they were just so confused, they didn't even recognize that it was abuse. He started studying and he became aware. And see, what I see most people doing is turning an eye to it, like, oh, that's not a problem that we have. It's
right.
Not an issue.
That doesn't happen here.
Yeah. And so the fact that people don't want to open their eyes to see it is one of the major reasons that we have this problem, and the major reasons that it's mishandled. People perish for a lack of knowledge.
That's exactly right. So what did abuse look like in your context? And did it progress? Did it go from one kind to the next? Is there kind of a progression in terms of seriousness? Obviously, physical harm and stuff would be the worst, I would assume.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the beginning, we just had the jealousy, controlling, like, oh, I don't like that outfit. But, you know, I was a people pleaser, so it made it pretty easy for me to want to follow along and to please him. But after we got married, there was a new dynamic in it. So within a month of the marriage, my brother had come to visit, and he left his, you know, socks in the living room floor. And at 3 a.m., the lights come on in the room, the covers are yanked off of me, and he's in my face going, you get in there and you clean up your brother's mess. And I was afraid for the first time.
Yeah. And it didn't get any better from there. It got a lot worse.
Yes.
And it was amazing. And reading your book, Called to Peace is the name of the book. Joy Forrest is here with us today, and you'll meet Christy in just a minute. It was amazing that, you know, how bad it would get. And then there'd be some separation. And then out of your hope, you're like, well, maybe he's repentant. He sounds kind of nice, but the whole thing was manipulation the whole time. We're going to get into that. And this will get a little closer to home for many of you. So stay in there, because God is in it. We'll be right back.
Let's try it all together.
Welcome back. It's the Steve Noble Show. This is Steve Noble talking to Joy Forrest today. Called to Peace Ministries, calledtopeace.org is the website. And also remember, if you're here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area, anywhere in North Carolina, or if you can get here, because this is going to touch close to home for you, Friday, May 5th or 4th, and then Saturday, May 5th, Beauty for Ashes, Finding Peace and Healing After Abuse, which is also going to be, I want you to get to the Facebook page as well, because it'll be streamed live on Facebook Live, which we're doing right now.
Actually, YouTube.
For the radio show. It'll be YouTube.
We're going to do YouTube.
Okay, awesome. So all that information you can get at calledtopeace.org. And then we're gonna meet Christy here in just a minute. But Joy, I asked you the question before the break about the progression of it. So it's 23 years. And did it get progressively worse and progressively more dangerous? And then how finally did you get out of it?
It did get progressively worse. I think that within the first 2 to 3 years of marriage, it got terrible. I had even had a knife at my neck one night. But after that, I'd reached out for counseling. Counseling didn't work. And so finally somebody...
Did he go to counseling?
Oh, yeah. He would go to counseling. But the sessions would always turn back on me somehow. It was they know how to twist things around. And marital counseling, we know now, does not really work in these cases. And so we were basically, you know, participating in a futile activity. So, but it got progressively worse. And so, and physically violent, really badly, for about the last year before somebody gave me James Dobson's book, Love Must Be Tough. And I realized, well, maybe I shouldn't stand up and just put up with it, because the more I submitted to him, the more power I gave him, the worse it became.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I started reading Love Must Be Tough, I actually started calling the police. And so the physical violence actually stopped for 4 or 5 years. He got into medical school, and when he got out of medical school, I started, you know, actually cowering to him a little bit more, yeah, because I wanted to stay home with my kids. And so then the violence increased again.
Because then he had more financial leverage, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So what was the final straw? And by the way, everybody, you can read this. There's a lot more to Joy's story than we're sharing right now, but Called to Peace is the name of the book. It's available on your website, isn't it, at the
yeah,
ministry website?
There's a link there.
CalledToPeace.org. So what was the final straw? And then we'll switch over to Christy.
I think the final straw for me was realizing I could actually die. I had my daughter, who was 12, begging me to leave. And I'm thinking, I hate divorce, you know, but she's saying, please get out. God hates divorce, but he's going to hate it when my mom's dead even more. But I think the final straw was a strangulation attempt where I couldn't even speak for a couple of days. And I thought, you know, if I keep trying to work this marriage out, I'm not going to live.
Yeah, yeah. And then eventually, obviously, God took all of that and turned it into your ministry and your calling. And mm-hmm, it reminds me of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We comfort others with the comfort that we've received. And you become a steward of all of that.
That's right.
And you've been a great steward at that. Christy, tell us, and thanks for being here and for coming in, and thanks for your work with Joy at Called to Peace. But tell us your story.
Well, I got married right after college to a man who was studying to be a pastor. So we were youth pastors together at a small church while he was finishing his school there. So I worked at the university.
And you came out of a missionary family?
I did.
Okay.
Yep.
So it sounds like this perfect little Christian
exactly
picture.
I had my life all figured out. We were going to get married. He'd finish his studies and we'd go overseas full time in ministry and he'd be a pastor. Whatever. I figured it sounded like a great plan. However, the day we got married, he turned into Groomzilla. And before that, during our dating and engagement, I'd only seen him, you know, just kind of act out in a quick explode of anger, but then quickly say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. He lived with my parents while we were engaged. So nobody really had any real flags that
yeah,
we could say.
Yeah.
Both my parents and I kind of were reserved, but I'd never dated before. So my parents were thinking, oh, it's just because it's our daughter finally getting involved in a relationship.
Yeah, and relationships can be ugly and back and forth, and you have your
disagreements. But we didn't see any ugliness during any of it. And I think now looking back, that's a red flag because there was no disagreements at all before.
Wow.
Through our dating or engagement. It was just, in a sense, perfect. But our two-week honeymoon, it started right away with very, very strong just manipulation, what I could wear, what I ate, you know. He told me, he said, don't spill the coffee. Well, I was so afraid. What did I do? I spilled the coffee, you know, and it just exploded. He got so angry. He just really started being very forceful on the 2 week honeymoon. I just remember we were up at Niagara Falls and I went, can I run fast enough, get over the edge before someone can stop me? I'm thinking, wait a minute, wait, that's not a normal thought. I'm on my honeymoon. I should be enjoying this. And I cried every single day. It just escalated very quickly from there.
How soon did you tell anybody?
Not until the day I left, really.
Wow, really? Why not?
I was too afraid. He controlled everything because I was at the university. Between classes, he'd come between my classroom. And if I didn't have a sticky note on my desk telling him where I was, if I was 5 minutes late from home, if anything, he controlled who I talked to. He knew where I was every moment of the day. I didn't go shopping by myself. I didn't have any friends. Everything, he started pulling me away, complete isolation. And controlling everything, even to putting salt on my eggs.
Did you realize that it was abuse at the time?
No.
That word didn't even come to your mind?
No. And again, like Joy was saying, I was very much of a people pleaser. And I wanted to be that submissive wife. Again, having the Bible background, knowing, you know, yes, I need to submit. Yes, I need to. But I never said no to him. And I allowed him to do more than just being a submissive wife.
Yeah.
And like Joy said with hers, the more I submitted, the more aggressive he got, the more he controlled, the more angry he got. You know, if things were falling out of the freezer, I came to help him. He'd shove me out of the way. Get out of the way. You're always you can't do anything right. Next time, if I'm seeing stuff and I stand back because I don't want to get in trouble again, he yells at me, says, get your lazy butt over here. I always have to do everything. Why can't you? So no matter what I did,
you can't win.
Always wrong. I was always wrong. And I would just cry in the morning saying, Lord, help me be a better wife. I want to submit. Help me. There's something wrong with me. I took all of the blame from him. I took the blame for myself. And then when we did start trying to do biblical marriage counseling, then the counselors would say, well, Christy, when he gets mad, well, then you need to do this. And when this happens, you need to.
Yeah, you need to manage yourself and him at the same time.
I was given the responsibility for his outburst of anger. And that's all we ever talked
about. That's all messed up. Now, is that, Joy, would you say that's just kind of our messed up theology?
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
It's typical. Yeah, sadly.
I mean, because there's one extreme where feminism goes nutso, all right, and then we know the problems with that. But there is the other extreme where submission is just, you do whatever I say, You're basically a slave.
Yeah.
And God says, love your neighbor as yourself. He never says, don't love yourself.
Mm, right.
But in that situation, I mean, this sounds all familiar. It sounds like there's a pattern here, regardless of mm-hmm. who it is or who the relationship is with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I'm a biblical counselor, and we always like to have everybody look at their sin. But if you have a woman look at her sin while you have her in a joint counseling session,
yeah.
guess what's going to become the focus of that
right.
counseling right. session? Mm-hmm.
So, Christy, what kind of got you to the line where you're like, I got to leave?
I was getting suicidal. And again, because of my strong Christian background, I knew that wasn't right. That wasn't healthy. God brought a lady into my life. My family calls her Saint Abby to this day. She was the one who helped walk me through it. She's like, well, when can you leave? Because my husband wouldn't let me go to counseling or wouldn't go with me until I left. She just said, well, Christy, you know you need to get help. So when do you think you can go? And so I'm like, well, we have the youth pastor here and that you're going down. Well, in 6 weeks. And she said, well, in 6 weeks, you're going to have something else, won't you?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, you're right. She said, so you need to leave today. And I went, you know, and that's when it really, you know, I went, but I ended up, by the grace of God, I ended up leaving. I never went back home. I never got my stuff back. And from that day forward, by the grace of God, I never went back. I was supposed to go back 3 times. And each time it was something really just, you know, again, you're not supposed to be afraid
yeah.
to be with your husband.
Right.
You're not supposed yeah. to be afraid. And every time I
Great
was
point.
Just so afraid.
What
I would
did,
shake.
What did all the Christians in your life, how did they react to
nobody,
you leaving?
Nobody believed me. Forgive and forget. Just move on. Forgive. Stop. And let go. I'm forgiving him, but I'm so afraid of
yeah,
him.
Yeah, see, this is where the
nobody
theology can seem so right, but it can be so wrong in its application.
Yeah.
And it's great to have a heart for forgiveness and grace and mercy, but you also have to have wisdom, too. We're going to unpack. Where do you go once you find out, once you figure out that you're in an abusive relationship? We'll go there next when we come back right after this. Name that tune, Joy Forrest.
I don't know.
Come on. Christy, you can't because you're
no.
you're such a Christ-like woman that you don't know David Bowie, right? So, right? David Bowie, does it ring a bell to anybody?
Yes.
Am I the only one in
we
the room?
We had that
Christy?
Album in my
yes,
house.
Yes, no?
Yeah.
No, she's got nothing.
I grew up overseas in the mission field. That's
oh, yeah. So so there you go. That explains it. But Joy, what's your excuse?
I recognize the tune. I just
okay, all right.
I'm not
good.
One of
right.
that could ever name that tune.
Well, that's the reason I do that. I play a fair amount of secular music on my bump music. It's because it forces the judgmental gene out of people. So they go, well, I listen to this guy. He loves Jesus, and I like his show, and he's really, you know, most of the time pretty right on in terms of theology, but he plays secular music. Where's the devil? Oh, yeah, that's just so you can have to deal with that. You can email me. I'll be happy to talk to you about it. We're talking to Joy Forrest today, Called to Peace Ministries, calledtopeace.org, as well as Christy Lay, who's here. She's a board member at Called to Peace. They both have their own story of abuse in their marriages, and by God's grace got out of that eventually, which even me saying that, by God's grace, they got out of their marriage. And in the church with our, really, I think, divorce becomes an idol.
Yeah.
Right?
Or marriage.
Joy?
Marriage.
Marriage becomes an idol, and God hates divorce. So you stay in it no matter what. And that's one of the problems that comes up when we talk about abuse. And one of the things we mentioned earlier that I want to dive into is we'll do some diagnostic stuff here first about how do you know when you're abused? And you showed me this a couple years ago, Joy, power and control wheel, which I just put on the Facebook page. So you can look at that for yourself. And it's got several different areas. So how do we break this down? How do women know, Joy and Christy, how do they know if they're being abused? Because it's not always the kick in the stomach, right?
Absolutely. It never starts that way. control. You're feeling very controlled. And one of the things that I hear a whole lot is I was so confused. Like they don't even know if they're right or wrong. They just know something's wrong in their marriage. And so I had a woman come up to me in church one day and she says, I don't know if it's abusive. I just know it's not right. And mm-hmm. and I love what Christy said, being afraid.
Yeah.
You got anything you want to add?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing because I am now remarried and, you know, not everything's perfect. Marriages work. Relationships are tough.
Sure.
But I have never been afraid of my husband now. Never.
So that's a telltale sign if you're afraid of your spouse.
Or even afraid of their reactions. Not necessarily mm-hmm. that even that they're going to do you physical harm. But if you find yourself tiptoeing around like you're walking on eggshells, that you can't do anything right.
Yeah.
Everything gets turned back on you. That kind of
yeah.
thing.
Is do you, how do you deal with folks that would say, well, maybe you're just henpecking or being too wimpy or Because that's all putting it back on you again, which this has got to happen, right? I'm not exaggerating.
It seems like that's what happens nearly all the time to most of the people that we end up seeing. So, yeah, some people think that it's provoked, that, you know, certainly nobody would get that angry for no reason. But I've had women who, you know, they put a cup in the sink and it was just like World War III in their house because they put a cup in the sink and yeah. They had been told, don't you put a cup in the sink. And so you don't know. Like for me, my story in the book, I think I've put in there where my daughter used his hairbrush and didn't put it back in the right spot. How can you control that? I mean, you know, I can't control everything that everybody does. And the whole house got torn up because he couldn't find his hairbrush. So, you know, my job after that, I went out and bought 16 hairbrushes so that wouldn't happen again.
Wow.
So I was trying to control it that I could make sure that wouldn't happen. But you can't.
Because at the middle of all this, it's not about his or her anger. It's about power and control. Is that right, Christy? Is that essentially it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because you never know. You never know what's, and that's, you know, you're afraid and tiptoeing around. I never said no to my husband, but I mean, again, it just, whatever I chose to do was wrong. If I helped, it was wrong. If I didn't help, it was wrong. If I wore the wrong thing, I'd wake up and make him fresh blueberry pancakes, come out of the shower screaming he didn't want blueberry pancakes. You know, I never knew.
Wow. So on this, on the power and control wheel, there's 8 different kind of areas where you see abuse showing up. So can we just do some examples?
Okay.
All right. So like using intimidation. So what does that look like?
Well, it could be, you know, raising a fist or some kind of, you know, mine used to love to clear the table, surface there was.
Literally
in the house.
Knock everything off of
there. He would throw it across the room, he would punch the wall sometimes. It just gave me a scary look. I mean, he had a look that just froze me. I would freeze in my tracks. The kids would too, just with one look. So it could be anything from a look to physical violence.
Now, what about emotional abuse? Because some of the things here on the wheel, putting her down, calling her names, making her think she's crazy.
Yeah.
So is that just manipulating emotions generally?
I would say so.
Yeah, and I wasn't allowed to show emotion. I wasn't allowed to cry. So suppressing emotions.
Yeah. What about isolation? That's an interesting one, using isolation.
Yeah, that was huge for me. I was separated from my family, from friends. He controlled who I saw, who I talked to, completely separating me from.
So the social circles get. Did that happen to you, Joy?
Yeah, absolutely. We moved several states away, and so I didn't have a good support network anymore. And I think a lot of them will do that. Mine, I don't think that was as. He didn't do it as much as many I've seen, but I've seen people who will move their families thousands of miles away to keep them away from their support system.
Yeah, yeah, because it allows them to maintain power and control, right?
Yeah.
Minimizing, denying, and blaming.
Well, it was always my fault. No matter what happened, you know, even I remember I had been separated from my ex-husband for over a year, and I get this call one night and he goes, I just lost my job and I hope you're happy now. Like I was still responsible for everything that happened in his life.
Now, Christy, in your case, you didn't have children involved.
No, we didn't.
But in Joy's case, you did. So how did he use your children in an abusive way?
Well, he would. Mine was a little different. I've seen it in. Played out in many, many ways. I mean, you see sometimes where in a domestic violence situation that the abuser will actually kill their own children, and that's as a way to punish.
Right.
But for me, it was like he would say, I need to see the children, I need to see them, and then I would get over there, take the children to see him, and then he would act like he had no interest in them at all. He would do, just use them to get, or he would try to send messages back that, you know, really ugly messages through them, or but I see so many people, they will actually fight for custody of their children when they have had nothing to do
with
their children.
Nothing to do with them the whole time.
Yeah, and they'll do that just as a punishment. And I told my ex, I said, look, I really want you to be a part of their life. They need their dad. He goes, not set up for that. If I had said, I don't want you to have anything to do with them, I think he'd have fought for
custody.
Right,
right. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
We're talking to Joy Forrest, who's the founder of Called to Peace Ministries, and Christy Lay, who's also a board member there. And Beauty for Ashes, Finding Peace and Healing After Abuse, is coming up here in Raleigh Friday, May 4th and Saturday, May 5th. You can get the information at calledtopeace.org. And then what is male privilege? Using male privilege. We see that word privilege showing up a lot in the culture these days.
Well, I see it, especially within the churches. They would use the, I'm the head of this house and you will submit. I mean, that's kind of borderline on spiritual abuse, which isn't on the power and control wheel.
Yeah.
But we see a lot of that. Got any other ideas on that? But
Yeah. Well, I mean, even male provision.
Yeah, because your husband at the time was training to be a pastor.
Yeah. You know, and I think even just my mindset, you know, you believe as a wife that whatever your husband wants you to do, you need to. I think that even went into the bedroom as well. It's like, as a wife, this is my husband. Right. I have to. So that male privilege in a way. And
no matter what. Which is a total abuse of scripture.
Yes.
And a total misunderstanding. It's really, really bad and dangerous theology. What about using economic abuse? Because I know this happened to you, Joy, a lot.
Yeah, well, it happened to me, and I want to give a better example of one of the ladies that was on my board who was also married to a pastor, and she was working for the church. She was bringing in, I think, around $700 a week, so pretty good income, and he was keeping the money and putting her on a $40 a week allowance.
Wow.
So when she had to leave him because it became physically violent and there was a lot of infidelity, she ended up with... You know, you can't even get any kind of benefits because you've got a good income. But she had to walk away from her job and she had to, you know, and her marriage at the same time. So she put her in a really bad spot. But they will withhold funding or make them beg for every penny or check the receipts when they've been to the grocery store to make sure they didn't buy any of the wrong things.
Or if he doesn't let you or he or she doesn't let you know anything about family income, what's going on with expenses, stuff like that.
Exactly. Yes.
All right. And then the last one, using coercion and threats. Which this one was all through your story in your book called The Peace. But what does that look like? What is coercion and what are threats? What do they look like on a daily basis, regular real life?
Well, it's basically, you know, you're being forced. I love what you were saying before, Christy, where you were talking about he became very forceful. All of a sudden, it's like being bullied. Okay,
yeah.
That's the closest thing I can come up with or compare it to is bullying, because we know if you were ever bullied as a kid, you know you didn't have to do anything but just be there to get bullied.
Mm-hmm.
And but so this coercive control it's forceful, it's dominating, it's, you know, making you feel like you are less than, and you have to bow to whatever they want.
And we're going through the power and control wheel. I put this up on the Facebook page for Facebook Live today, so you can find that whether you're listening or watching live right now or later. Facebook.com/C2A Radio. We're going to change that soon, but that's the address of the Facebook page right now. We're going to hit the break, but what's the first step that women or men in an abusive relationship have to take to start moving forward?
Well, I think that they need to actually face the truth. So until you look at the ugly truth, then you can't really apply God's beautiful truth. So
the word abuse has to show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to
admit
it.
That is the truth. That's what we're talking about. Yep, you got to admit that you are being abused. This is Steve Noble. We're talking to Joy Forrest and Christy Lay from Call to Peace Ministries, calltopeace.org. We'll be right back after this message. The way forward. How do you move forward? How do you heal? We'll go there next. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show, thestevenobleshow.com. Same website, same show, same guy. We just changed the name of the show from Call to Action to Steve Noble, and which makes sense, but that's a whole other story. We'll go there later. But today we're talking to Joy Forrest, who's with, she's the founder of Call to Peace Ministries, calltopeace.org, and Christy Lay is also in here with us, a board member, who's going to be starting Call to Peace Ministries where? Up in Wisconsin, right?
Yes, Madison, Wisconsin.
Madison, Wisconsin. Burr.
Yes, I know.
Is your wardrobe ready?
No.
You're going to have to toughen up, Southern girl, because you're moving north. And that's real winter in Wisconsin.
I know.
I lived in Chicago for 10 years. I know what I'm talking about. So it's great to have you two here today. And thank you so much. This is a very important topic. We talked about it a number of times, Joy. And I don't hear it talked about very often because it's one of those things that... I don't think we like to admit. You mentioned earlier, statistically, domestic abuse is just as bad inside the body of Christ as it is outside, and pastors are not immune. Christy's first husband was training to be a pastor and was an abusive person, and so we are not immune to this, and so we have to deal with it. I asked Joy earlier, I asked you what kind of grade would you give the church in terms of dealing with domestic abuse inside its own four walls, and what was that grade?
An F.
And why? Why is it an F?
It's just so rarely handled correctly. And I think it's because we see it as a marital problem instead of an abuse problem. And so we tend to put the burden of the problem back on the victims, the ones who are being victimized. So until we can learn to look at it as an abuse problem, then I think we're going to continue to get it wrong. Now, there are churches who get it right, but overall... that's all I've seen. I mean, I can tell you just because from our support groups, we have local support groups in Raleigh, and the people that come in and the counsel that they've received, it just makes me want to weep when I hear it.
And you both kind of got some of that yourselves, just bad theology, bad counseling. And we make an idol out of the marriage. Is it God hates divorce? What do you think he feels about an abuser? Yeah. Do you think he feels good? Hey, I don't mind that. As long as you don't get a divorce.
Yeah,
which is totally insane. So coming up on May 4th and 5th here in Raleigh. So whether you're in Raleigh or in North Carolina, wherever you happen to be listening, if you can't get here, and we know that many of you can't, this will be live streamed on YouTube. So you can get all that information at calledtopeace.org. But tell us a little bit about, Joy, what's going to happen at this two-day conference.
Well, I'm really excited about this. We've done other conferences. This is the first one where we are actually going to focus on the keys to healing after abuse. I find that a lot of times people go through this, they never deal with it properly, and sometimes they can become abusive or they just become so bitter. But the ones that I see who are able to apply God's truth and to heal, it's kind of like watching a butterfly come out of a cocoon. It is amazing. They are the most amazing people that you'll ever meet because they've actually been able to hold on to him in suffering. Yeah. And there's something really beautiful in that. So we are going to be sharing those keys. A lot of them are in the book. I have there will be four counselors. I happen to be one of them. But I have two, actually, Christian therapists, and I will only use, you know, if I'm going to do any collaborating with a therapist who may be trained in more worldly models, I'm going to make sure that it lines up with Scripture. Yeah, so these are folks that believe in, let's cast down every thought and every that it exalts itself.
Yeah, the base of all these things is spiritual.
Right. And, I mean, it's our thinking, because our thinking gets so warped. So I have a lady named Carla Ross, who's a professor at Meredith College, who's going to be speaking on what forgiveness truly means. Because does forgiveness mean that you have to enter back into a relationship with somebody you can't trust? I have Tabitha Westbrook, who's going to be speaking about trauma, because most of the folks that we deal with have a form of PTSD. I have Omar King from over at Bridgehaven Counseling through Summit Church, who's going to be speaking on the dynamics of abuse. We have several different topics that I think are going to be very helpful. So what has happened in the past, we did conferences. We were trying to reach out to pastors and church folks, and we ended up getting mostly survivors. So this time we're focusing on the survivors, but it will still be helpful for helpers, people helpers, pastors, people in ministry. Because how can you help somebody if you don't know what it looks like?
Even friends of an abused person.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Should be at something like this. And again, it'll be streaming live. It'll be a Friday evening, May 4th, from 7 to 9 p.m. That's Eastern time. And then on Saturday from 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern time. But again, it'll all be streaming live. So if you can't get here, you can still access that incredible information and counseling and help. CalledToPeace.org. And so you guys said, you know, the truth is the first step. Being able to realize that your spouse is an abuser and you are, in fact, being abused. And then what's next? Like, because one of the things that I think in reading your book called The Peace, and I think, Christy, you would probably agree with this, oftentimes the church council will stay in the house, stay involved. But for a lot of women and men, they need to get out, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been doing this a long time, 20 years now, and the only time I've ever seen a reconciliation was when somebody got out and there were some consequences.
Wow, yeah.
Because most of the time, folks like this who are abusive are not used to answering to any. They don't. They've never been broken enough to be humble enough to want to change. They've been in control. And so when you start taking a little bit of that control away, and again, that will put the victim in more danger. But when you start taking away some of that control, sometimes maybe they will become broken enough to actually want to get help and to change. But we still find that that's a very, very low percentage.
You've seen that once in 20 years.
Personally been involved with it. Well, so I've seen it more than once, but I've only been personally involved in the counseling on that one.
So truth and then separation and get out of the house, which I think in most cases
if
is necessary.
If they can.
That's hard, though, because where are you going to go? You don't have any money, yada, yada.
Exactly. So we have a lot of them who can't get out. And so what we teach them to do is to not react to it and to not play the games. Yeah. And sometimes it makes things worse in the beginning, but I have one lady who stayed in it, and I mean, he's still very ugly to her, but she kind of has gone on and she's living her own life separate, you know, in a separate way, where she has joy and peace, except for when she walks in the door sometimes. But, you know, it's just different for every person. We can't say one size fits all.
So what, and both of you, Joy and Christy, what are some of the biggest challenges for people coming out of an abusive relationship to overcome? And what are also some of the biggest truths that they need to accept? We talked about abuse, but the truth in terms of your identity, where do you find your identity, your self-worth, all that kind of stuff? So what are the biggest challenges that you face when you're coming out of an abusive marriage or relationship?
Well, I think that we believe lies. I mean, we don't believe that, you know, we don't see who we are truly. For me, it had actually warped my view of God.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I had this man that I considered to be an authority over me who was abusing me. And so, and then when I would read scripture was telling me you're supposed to, you know, I thought I needed to just stay there and put up with it. So, of course, I'm going to be a little upset with God. And so you have to correct your view of God. You have to correct your view of yourself. And so know that you are precious in his sight and that he is on your side. Those are the main things, you know, because once you can start changing those warped thoughts, but it's way more complicated than that. It takes time. I mean, it's really
sure.
It's kind of like you've been indoctrinated, so now you have to be deprogrammed.
Yeah, you guys have both. Christy, you talked about that. You essentially get brainwashed.
Yes. Yeah.
And so what was the hardest thing for you coming out of an abusive marriage and relationship?
It was my mindset, you know, because of hearing all how he treated me and the things blaming me for myself. I would then replay and blame myself. And that carried on even after we were divorced for years, even, you know, up till a couple years ago, just still trying to really understand the truths of who God is, who I am, apart from any person or from what I do. But it's really just grounding yourself in God's word. And that was where my healing really started coming, was when I would grab onto the truth and I would start memorizing the Bible, specific verses that related directly to where I was at, what I was dealing with, the struggles. And God's word, it does. It sets you free.
Amen.
And that's one of the great things in the back of Joy's book, which I did read cover to cover, called The Peace, A Survivor's Guide to Finding Peace and Healing After Domestic Abuse. The whole back end of the book is nothing but scripture. And done by whatever the challenge is, God has an answer for it. Because you have to replace all these lies with all of his truth.
Amen.
But that takes time. Because how long had it been? You said even a couple years, as recently as a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But how long had it been?
18 years.
So some of that stuff was still in there. And what about forgiveness, Joy?
Well, you know, forgiveness was a tough one for me, but when I finally realized what forgiveness meant. So when, you know, as a child, I was one of four kids and my parents would say, now you guys hug and make up and forgive each other. And then we would go, oh, yeah, I forgive you.
Yeah.
I know you didn't mean it. Well, he meant it. It was awful. He meant it. And so it was like minimizing what my view of forgiveness was, that we were minimizing what happened. And you don't have to do that. You actually need to admit to the full weight of what happened to truly forgive. Because I have women tell me, oh, yeah, I've forgiven him. And then they start crying. Mm-hmm. I know that they haven't forgiven a lot of times because it still hurts so much. When you forgive, it takes the pain away.
Well, what does it even mean to forgive?
It means to release it, to put it in God's hand and get rid of your need for revenge. It means, and it truly sets you free, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you can trust or that you have need to reconcile with somebody who's dangerous.
Yeah. And what about, this might seem like a strange question, but what about victim mentality? Because you are a victim, whether it's a wife abusing her husband or a husband abusing the wife, you are a victim. But what do you mean by getting out of victim mentality?
It's your mind. It's changing your mind, changing what you focus on, changing on your thought process. And I think that goes along with forgiveness as well. When you choose to forgive, but what are you thinking about? Are you still bringing it? Are you replaying it? God's word, again, it's setting your mind, taking every thought captive. That starts with forgiveness. That helps with healing. That helps with getting out of the victim mentality and becoming a victor and really, truly being set free.
Yeah, that's great. Christy and Joy, thank you so much for being here today. And again, Joy, who should come to Beauty for Ashes on May 4th and 5th, as well as you can watch it online. But who should be a part of that?
Anybody who's experienced abuse, and even this will be applicable to people who experience childhood abuse. But anybody who's experienced it, anybody who wants to help people who've experienced, or anybody who loves them.
Excellent. May 4th, Friday evening, May 4th, and Saturday, May 5th. It's Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and Saturday morning, 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. that day. So you can get the information at calledtopeace.org. If you can't come here, you'll be able to watch it live online. So get to calledtopeace.org as quickly as possible and check that out. And there's all kinds of great ministry resources there and help for you. Do not give up. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.